please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
قرآن كويست، يس بليز.
قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي. آيات الله حمدتني، غمرتني بالبركة.
قرآن كويست، answering your Quranic questions.
الشيطان ومن زلاتي. آيات الله حمدتني، غمرتني بالبركات، تحفظني من همزات الشيطان. قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي. قرآني نبض حياتي، قرآني طهر ذاتي، قرآني عصمة أمري، قرآني طوق نجاتي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. All our brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, where we discuss the verses of the Quran with our dear and beloved Sheikh Habib. And it so happens that we are in the week of unity. A few days ago was the birthday anniversary of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, based on Sunni narrations. And in a few days it will be his birthday anniversary based on Shia narrations. And since he is the Prophet of all Muslims, what a better time to celebrate solidarity between us as one nation. And to celebrate it with us, we have Sheikh Habib. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Habib, and congratulations to you too.
Congratulations to you too. I would just like to add also a note that there's also a Shia narration available in Al-Kafi. Al-Qualain used to believe that the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi was on the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. So there, you know, it's a different narration thing.
Okay, thank you very much. That's very good to know. We are on chapter Mary. We're studying verses 73 onwards from this chapter. Let's listen to them and we'll be back for our discussion today.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ
And when our verses are recited to them as clear evidences, those who disbelieve say to those who believe, which of our two parties is best in position and best in association?
أهلكنا قبلهم من قرن هم أحسن أثاثا ورئيا.
And how many a generation have we destroyed before them who were better in possessions and outward appearance?
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and you just listened to verse 73 onwards from chapter Mary of the Quran. Now, we've discussed these few verses in our previous episode as well. Let's start this episode with an interesting question. And that is the tone that the Quran uses when it's responding to the pagans who are making fun of the Prophet. So here is the Prophet of Islam coming to them with logic. And here they are, completely against logic, saying that we're rich, we're socially popular, what are you talking about? And then the Quran goes, bam, how many generations before you we destroyed and they were richer than you? They were even more popular than you. Can you explain to us about this tone?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. So yes, this really has to do with the manner that the Holy Quran, altogether the way that it speaks to the various people. That's the eloquence of the Holy Quran. In Arabic language, when you look at the balagha part of the Arabic language, they always look at who is being talking to. Sometimes when you talk to a person, you have to be in a manner that grabs their attention. Sometimes you have to be in a polite manner. Sometimes someone is trying to bully you. Someone is trying to mock you. So you sometimes, in some cases, you have to mock back. Or you have to, you know, not tolerate their stance. And that's what the Holy Quran, the manner of it, the way that it doesn't tolerate mockery. Especially if you look throughout various verses. I think this by itself, making a research study about it is a very good thesis idea. To look at the verses of replies and responses to the mockery of the disbelievers towards the weak, towards the believers, especially the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will right away bring up verses that will rebuke. He would not like the Prophet to be criticized. He does not like the believers to be mocked and made fun of. So right away, Quran stands in their faces and states, first of all, what you have is nothing compared to what previous generations had. They had much better things, they've seen much better things, and they were more relaxed than you. They had more than you. So that's first of all. That's first of all, honey. Second of all, they go into the fact that what you're stating is out of logic. That's also the way to respond to unlogical things. The same thing with Mubahala. When the Christians came, they were bringing up non-logical, you know, evidence. Something unrational. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, what could you do to non-logical or non-rational challenges? You can't always answer them. When you're answering them, you're stating that, yeah, you might have something, what you're stating might be, you know, kind of rational, but it's not correct. So the best answer to it is either to respond, if they were in mockery, to not tolerate it. I'm not going to state it's mockery. Or to, you know, do mubahala or mula'anu, like how the story of mubahala.
And just like that, he defeats them just like that.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break now. And we'll be back after the break to further our discussion. Don't go away.
إن سألتم عن إلهي فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
Welcome back to IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are discussing verses 73 onwards from chapter Mary, we talked about how God responds to mockery. God is responding to them in a way as if they knew the generations that were destroyed before Muhammad. Did they actually believe in those generations? I mean, did they acknowledge that such generations existed and God destroyed them out of punishment?
It's a historical fact that they used to believe in. And you know how, like, we have history, like, for example, I don't know, just out of the hair, like how we didn't witness Hitler, or for example the Civil War in America. We didn't witness it, we didn't see it, but we hear about it, and something that is always in our memories, always in our minds. The same thing with these Arabs. And you want evidence on that? The best evidence is that whenever these stories came up, not one infidel, not one disbeliever, not one enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, came and stood and said, no, these are lies. These stories did not happen.
They never challenged
the stories. Mm-hmm. They accepted it. A logical person, of course they're not logical, but a rational way of answering would to state that what are you stating are lies. This is not historically incorrect. But rather, some who were disbelievers would believe in the Quran because of the details that would bring, the Quran would bring about the stories.
Mm-hmm. The Quran would use their own beliefs against them.
Historical facts that they had in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they would take the lesson from the stories that happened or not, the Quran did use them a lot and always uses them, always reminds them that you guys know Thamud, you guys know Fir'aun. You guys heard about them, you have read about them, you have seen generations and generations of stories about them. They were much better than you. They had better lives than you. They had better, you know, they had more cash than you. They had more money than you. They had more power than you. They had more land than you. All you guys have is Mecca. And the only reason that they're respecting you, the Arabs are respecting you, is because of the holy house, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So calm down. Take it down a notch a little bit. Stop mocking us. Be logical at least.
Thank you very much, Sheikh Habib, for that very nice explanation. I guess the final question remaining for today's program is, why did God give them so much wealth and status in the first place? I mean, you would understand that some people who have less understanding of spirituality would think, well, you would give more money to the one that you like more, right? Isn't that true? So if God is giving them more wealth and more power, doesn't it mean that He likes them more?
This question that you ask, and of course we talked about it, I think like two topics ago or two episodes ago, the idea of this unrational logic that the more wealth I have, the more power I have, the more that means I am right. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're a Muslim, some Muslims believe this, that I have cars, I have houses, I have a wife, I have children. It means that Allah is satisfied with me. That's the wrong idea. That's the wrong concept. There's something called istidraj. It's available in the Holy Quran. This thing has been asked even by during the time of the Prophet, during the time of the Imam alayhi salam, and something inshallah ta'ala we'll talk more after the break.
Yes, we do have to take a break. After the break, we'll be back to talk about istidraj and discover what this concept is. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are studying verses 73 onwards from chapter Mary. So you said that I asked you, why did God give the pagans so much wealth and superiority, material superiority? And you talked about something called istidraj. What is this istidraj?
This topic actually has a chapter in Al-Kafi. I don't know why this book is so underrated, unfortunately. It's not available in Usul al-Kafi. That's maybe why the reason the topic is not well known. But it was something vastly asked by the companions of the Imam alayhim as-salam. And it's available in the Holy Quran as well. إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them so they could continue to fall into their delusions. They could continue to fall into their sins, into their disbelief. Now, two questions might pop up. The first one, why does Allah do that? Isn't that wrong? The answer to that is Allah doesn't do it. The person causes it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does it, it's the person who caused this.
God is giving them what they ask for.
They want to stay away from righteousness. They want to stay away from what is right. They want to stay away from justice. They want to stay away from reason and logic. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves them. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves them, forgets them, like how the verses state. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgetting and leaving them is not like how we forget. Allah forgetting them is to keep away guidance, to not guide them, to stop guiding them, to close the doors of that special guidance that He has. And we have to talk about that, inshallah ta'ala, in coming episodes. It's too much details. But the idea of istidraj is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a human sins, when a person disbelieves, when a person is ungrateful, when a person is unjust,
and Allah refuses to be guided against all of God's guidance.
Exactly.
Then God prepares the ground for them to get
Allah
what they want, and that is misguidance.
Allah gives them wealth, gives them children, gives them property, and whatever. And they keep on falling down in these steps. They keep on tumbling until they forget the right path. They fall so far away from the straight path that there's no coming back.
They get caught by death when they can no longer do anything. That leaves us with the final question, I guess, that is essential to answer. How do we know in our lives whether we are undergoing istidraj and we're not aware? I mean, are the blessings that we have, the wealth that we have, are they okay or are they istidraj?
This question was asked to Imam Baqir alayhi salam. That I always ask Allah, I am always answered. Whenever I ask Allah for children, I get the child. I ask for property, I get the property. Anyway, he asked Imam, I'm afraid, because he has these sayings in his mind, he has these verses in his mind, I'm afraid that I might be mustadraj, I might be the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing, so in this world
you'll fall deeper into sin.
Exactly. Imam Baqir alayhi salam gave him a rule: ma'al hamd fala istidraj. With
if
praising
grateful
Allah, grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing you, and that's
so
great.
So long as you know that this is coming from
exactly,
God, and
from
you
Allah
acknowledge it.
Exactly.
Alhamdulillah. That is
acknowledging it also
answer.
Not with the tongue,
but
also
in action,
with the actions as well.
In practice. Thank you very much. I guess that sets everybody's mind at ease. Thank you very much, Sheikh Habib. It's always great talking to you. And thanks to our wonderful audience for being with us. If you missed the program, do not worry. You can always download an archive of this episode and all our previous episodes from our website. Simply search Call of Islam Radio Quran Quest. Until next week, and a lot of Quran studying. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
إن هذا القرآن ويبشر
edition of the International Short Film Festival has kicked off in the Iranian capital, with some 63 films from 32 countries competing in the event. The festival has for the first time turned into an Oscar qualifying event, giving winning entries a shot at the Academy Awards. This is being held at Tehran's famous Iran Mall cinema complex, and it will showcase short feature, documentary, and experimental works. 5 Iranian films and 58 from abroad are selected for the grand prize, and the winner will be presented to the Academy for possible Oscar nomination. The jury has members from Iran as well as Italy, Japan, and France. The festival will be running until October 23rd.
Natural disasters often disrupt normal life, but that's not the case with an Indian couple who got married despite their town being submerged by floodwaters. The couple, identified by local media as health workers in Kerala state, managed to reach a temple for the wedding in a giant cooking pot. they could be seen smiling and waving in their ceremonial clothes while two of their relatives were steering the pot. The couple reportedly borrowed the pot from the temple, saying that was the only option available. The pair was unwilling to postpone their big day, adding an unforgettable story to a country that is famous for many incredible things. Feeling down, it's all right to cry and get help. That's all what a place called the Crying Room tries to tell its visitors in Spain. The Crying Room is part of a building located in central Madrid. It's free and open to the public. The Crying Room aims to remove the stigma attached to mental health, crying, and seeking help. It offers a wide range of services, from a corner to crying, to a phone with a list of psychologists people can call. Motivating messages are also visible on the walls. People have hailed the initiative, saying it helps them speak out about their negative emotions.
I think it's an excellent idea to visualize the widespread of the mental health issue. And I think it's a really fun take on it, to call it the crying room, because of the Spanish expression, if you want to cry, go to the crying room. So it's kind of stigmatized to cry in Spain, as in many other countries. So I wanted to take part in this this visualization of the problem.
The Crying Room was opened in an effort to raise awareness about mental health and well-being. Official data in Spain showed that around 40% of people had symptoms of depression last year. Another 30% experienced anxiety.
The first movie in orbit in the making. Two Russian nationals who travel to the International Space Station to shoot scenes of that movie are now back on Earth. The Soyuz MS-18 spacecraft carrying an actress and a film director undocked from the ISS early Sunday and successfully touched down in Kazakhstan about 3 hours later. The film crew, along with a veteran astronaut, blasted off from the Russian leased Baikonur Cosmodrome earlier this month. They spent 12 days in the ISS to shoot the scenes. The mission beats a Hollywood movie project starring Tom Cruise. The mission adds to a long list of firsts for Russia's space industry. Fabric cuts used to recreate Vietnamese landscapes. A woman living in the capital, Hanoi, has been doing that for 40 years now. The artist, 61 years old, explains what material she uses to create her artworks.
All the details in my artworks are cut from cloth which is used for oyai, traditional costume, or cut from silk scarves. These are very small details, and I have to get the whole cloth for oyai. I even have to cut them from beautiful silk scarves sent from my friends abroad.
Took says sometimes hundreds of thousands of pieces of cloth are needed to shape the scenes. The cuts should be put together very carefully. Besides that, the woman has to work in a room without any air conditioning, even in the boiling summers of Hanoi. That's because, she says, the pieces of cloth are very tiny and would easily be blown away. Her hard work has paid off. The creations sell for up to $5,000. The Vietnamese artist says her work are a summary of the passion and the beauty she has experienced after traveling across her country.
Materials and methods are vital for an artist who combines them to create a masterpiece. Well, a Brazilian artist has used an unusual material to create a huge, dazzling artwork. Mandano has drawn a mural measuring 1,000 square meters using ashes from the burned Amazon rainforest. The artwork on the side of a building in the city of Sao Paulo depicts a firefighter standing near the scenes of deforestation, blazes, and dead animals. Mondano says he traveled extensively to feel that sadness and, more importantly, to collect ashes from for his paintings. He says his aim is to call attention to the environment in his home country where thousands of wildfires break out each year.
Be the first to catch the balloon. That's what competitors play to win the title at the first Balloon World Cup in Spain. The competition was held in an amusement park in the northeastern city of Tarragona. Participants had to get the balloon to touch the ground before their opponent could touch it. The event was organized by FC Barcelona player Gerard Piqué and a famous web streamer and commentator.
Get out of your comfort zone and try new things. Today we are very proud to have tried something like that and that it has worked so well and that people have enjoyed it. In the end, it's about people having a great time.
The competition was inspired by a trio of American siblings whose balloon game videos had attracted millions of views on TikTok and Instagram. 32 countries competed for the title. An 18-year-old teenager from Peru became the first world champion of this tournament. He defeated his German rival in a 5-minute final match. For those of you with an extreme fear of needles, this may finally be the good news. A group of Dutch researchers say they are working to create painless needle-free injections. The researchers have developed what they call a bubble gun. The device uses a laser to push tiny droplets through the skin. Take a listen to David Fernandez Rivas, the head of the project, explaining how the process is done within a millisecond.
So within a millisecond, the glass that contains the liquid is heated by a laser. A bubble is created in the liquid, pushing the liquid at velocities on the order of 100 kilometers per hour. And we can see the gelatin, how it penetrates about 1 millimeter approximately.
Now, Rivas says the invention will help ease fear of needles and lower the threshold for vaccinations. He believes the new technology can also prevent the risk of contamination through needles and reduce medical waste. If you're eager to get a needle-free shot, you may still have to wait a few more years before they are made available to everyone.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
From a voyage aboard a fictional spacecraft to a real-life journey to space, a 19-year-old Canadian actor known for his portrayal of a starship captain for decades is now the oldest person ever going to space. After a couple of days of training, William Shatner hitched a ride aboard a suborbital spacecraft on Wednesday. He took off from a Texas desert as a guest alongside three other passengers, two professionals, and a paid customer. During the 10-minute flight, the team experienced more than 3 minutes of weightlessness. Now, listen to the actor describing the voyage as the most unbelievable experience of his life.
I'm so filled with emotion about what just happened. It's extraordinary. I hope I never recover from this. I hope that I can maintain what I feel now. I don't want to lose it.
During a televised journey, the capsule took its four passengers above the maximum altitude of 100 kilometers, a point where the curvatures of the Earth can be seen. With that, the space captain of the entertainment world also broke a record as the oldest space traveler. Now, many see his experience as the embodiment of the space travel promises he made through decades of acting. The population of giant pandas in captivity has reached a record high of 673 in 2021. Official data shows this year 48 panda cubs were born, of which 46 survived. Meanwhile, the total number of overseas giant pandas has reached 69. This is the result of joint efforts by Chinese and foreign researchers following decades of caring for the lovely animals. In July, another study put the number of giant pandas living in the wild at over 1,800. The cute bears were then reclassified from endangered to vulnerable. Experts believe such research improves conservation efforts and facilitates monitoring of animal populations. With the help of artificial intelligence, Beethoven's 10th and last symphony is now completed. A group of German musicologists and programmers started the project over a year ago. They analyzed Beethoven's style and then used algorithms to teach a computer to complete the unfinished job. The work was released to mark the 250th anniversary of the prominent musician's death. The team said they tried hard to solve the puzzle while remaining faithful to Beethoven's process and vision.
I believe that if a composer like Ludwig van Beethoven were to live today, he would probably not only have a large technology team around him to help him, but he would push exactly such technologies and use them for his art. And for me, art is not something that stands fixed in space and is always the same, but that changes with the world, and we can witness that today.
When the German composer died in 1827, he left behind some musical sketches for his 10th symphony. Some experts tried to complete it in the past, but they did not succeed. Researchers in the United States have created an incredibly versatile robot named Leonardo or Leo. Leo was developed by a team at the California Institute of Technology's Center for Autonomous Systems and Technologies. The futuristic robot can walk a tightrope, skateboard, and even fly. Its uniqueness lies in the fact that it uses not just one, but two modes of locomotion. The researchers who developed Leo believe that similar robots will be employed on a wider scale in the future.
I think we're going to see robots like Leonardo with these extraordinary locomotion capabilities be used in things like space exploration, because they can overcome very difficult terrain, they can reach hard-to-reach places. But then I think also robots will be more and more in our daily lives. As these robots become more and more robust, more and more reliable, we're going to see them for things like package delivery or helping in the house with daily chores.
Leo is 75 centimeters tall and has four propeller thrusters mounted on its shoulders. While walking, it mimics the movements of a human by using those propellers and a pair of actuated legs. The robot can transition smoothly between flying and walking. Leonardo perceives the world around it with the help of cameras and sensors. Hot air balloons were invented in the 18th century, enabling man to finally fulfill his dream of flying. After more than 200 years, people are still eager to ride the colorful vehicles. Some even use them competitively. In the German Hot Air Ballooning Championships, balloonists will fly over the skies of the green Bavarian town of Tegernsee. 25 of Germany's best pilots are vying for first place.
The organizers of the event expect a tight race, as the contestants have all managed to pass the previous competitions with flying colors to qualify for the national championship.
This is Back to Reality. Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Back to Reality. I am your humble, hopefully favorite host, Zainab, and in the studio with me, I have two brothers in faith and humanity. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. It's an honor to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. Would you do a brief introduction?
I'm Muzaffar Haider.
I'm Hassanain.
From the UK.
From India.
So today, first of all, thank you so much, you guys. All right, Brother Hassanain, when was the last time you read a good book?
I read books daily because... Because
you're a student?
Yeah, I read every day, yeah.
You don't have a choice. What was the last book you read out of your own free will and...
Voluntarily.
Volition, yes.
Maybe, you know, like last week.
For real?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. When was the last time you read a quote from social media?
Every day.
This morning. Every day. I thought so. Why do you guys think we are drifting further away? Are we even drifting further away from books and receiving more information just from social media? Little snippets, abridged parts, you know, excerpts of books and quotes and even du'as and munajat and ayat of the Qur'an. And, you know, not actually referring to the hardcore book itself.
There's a brief theory behind that.
Tell me about
You know, why people are shifting more from books to social media. And it's called attention span.
But see, that's the catch. That's the catch 22 about it. We have shorter attention spans because we have drifted toward media.
Yes.
It's not that we drift toward media because our attention span has decreased.
So, like, yeah, earlier it used to be, like, books, only books. So people used to read books, like, you know, big books. They used to finish it and, like, you know, read it for a week. And then after that, it was theater. People used to go to the theater and, you know, watch, like, drama for, like, 2-3 hours. Then that was the attention span of the people, like, you know, watching straight away for, like, 2-3 hours.
Shrinking.
Then after that, you know, like, you know, as we are living in the modern world, you know, it's Netflix... And, like, short series. So, you know, people watching, like, half an hour episodes. But now what people are doing is, you know, they're watching short videos. And the new trend, like TikTok or YouTube Shorts. You know, what people are doing is they watch a video. And if they don't find it interesting, the first 5 seconds of them watching it, they just skip it.
That's the same thing with books. Come on, that's not fair. Last month, I caught myself finishing a 764-page book in 24 hours.
Whoa.
One sitting.
Mashallah.
I just got up to pray. I came back. I didn't sleep. No, I barely ate. I had to finish that book because it was so blooming, captivating. It was such a page-turner.
No,
every word.
I'm sorry. The difference is, like, between books and, you know, the social media is... The attention span, like you read a book for like, you get a new book, you read it like 3-4 pages, and then you decide, like you want to continue it or not.
Yeah.
But you watch a video for like 3-4 seconds, then you just skip it.
But the thing with social media and the videos on it, though, is that it gives you so much sensory pleasure in all aspects. You hear, you see, imagine ASMR. All your senses are engaged. With books, you have to use your imagination so much. I would say books are not for everyone.
Yeah.
But I would also say, Brother Muzaffar, why do you think our attention span has shrunkified throughout the years?
I like the development that Brother Hassanain just laid out. Because you're right. If you go back in time, people only had books. That was their entertainment. You'd be sitting in a house. You didn't have any technology like we do today. And so your only escape into another world was through a book, right? And so one of the uses and gratifications that people have for media is actually escapism, right? You want to escape into another world. Your own world is, like to say, boring or too much to take, and so you want to escape, right? That's one of the major uses that human beings have for the media. And so the only form of that that they had, the only window that they had to escape was through books. And so they took that window.
You're listening to Back to Reality. We're going to be back to reality after a short break, so don't go anywhere.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
Thank you so very much for joining us again on this show. This is Back to Reality. I'm in the studio with my special guests. And our topic is drifting further away from books and receiving more information just from social media.
When you're reading a book, it is simultaneously teaching you. It's a back and forth process, right? Where you're receiving information not only about the story itself, but all the background of the story, the different language that's used. And you're right, sister, you have to use a tremendous amount of your own imagination. There is a huge interplay taking place between the left brain and the right brain. As you know, the right brain deals with all your creativity, your imagination side. The left brain deals with, you know, hardcore facts. This is, this isn't, and, you know, mathematics. But when you're reading a book, there's this interrelationship taking place between the two sides of the brain, right? You're forced to do that. Okay, but then you go forward in time, then they went through plays 2 or 3 hours, and now we have social media, and now their attention span, our attention span is like 5 minutes maximum, 15 minutes maximum. For a lot of people, actually, it's really scary, because that is what's actually happening, and it's happening more with the next generation than with our generation. Right, with Generation Z, in the UK we call it Z. We don't say Z.
But is this Generation Z?
Okay. Now what's happening? When you're receiving that information from the social media, you're just watching a video. There's no interaction on the right side of your brain really taking place. It's just your left brain. You're just like a zombie, and you're receiving. You're receiving. You're flicking through, watching another one. That's really terrifying.
But would you not say that the new generation is more creative?
No.
More logical?
No.
Okay, I beg to differ.
The thing about attention span is, like, you know, if you don't like a video, you skip it after 5 seconds. But you like it,
I
was coming over there, yeah. If you don't like a video, you skip it after 5 seconds. But if you like it, you're ready to binge watch it the whole night.
Yeah, like that
it's
book.
Similar with the book. If you don't like the book, you just skip after 2-3 pages.
Look.
And if you like it, you're ready to read 700 pages like Sister Zaina.
Let me share with you guys my theory. So there is a study that had been conducted and says that 12% of the people in the world could read and write during 1820. Today, this number has reversed, and only 14% of the world's population remain illiterate. Over the last 65 years, the global literacy rate increased by 4% every 5 years. My point is that there was always a time in the world where the majority of people did not read, could not read, couldn't be bothered to read, did not give a rat's whisker to read. There was always a time in the world where the minority, a very small number of people with really imaginations, loved to read. Their escapism was reading. They would love to just gobble up information from here and there. And if they were among the blessed elites, they had the memory to, you know, store the stuff that they read. Because I read something and then literally next page, I forgot what I read and I have to go back again. Through the times, through the passing of time in history, those people developed into, you know, those who go on social media for hours, and those who just sit with their books and post pictures of their books on social media every day. I'm saying it's always been like this. Now, back then, those who didn't read, which were the majority, would stare out of the window. Now they're just staring at their phones.
Actually, that's the irony, you know. when the books were read the most, that time there was a minority that only that could read books, like according to the, you know, people who can read and write.
No. There was no time that people read more. People have all the ratio has always been like this. Mm-hmm. Lesser people read, more people didn't.
Yeah, أكثرهم لا يعلمون.
Exactly. Now, still lesser people read. Mm-hmm. They continue reading. More people don't read. They play with their phones.
Okay, but granted, and you're probably right about that, and that's quite eye-opening to think about. However, I feel like there's a new factor in the whole picture now, and that factor is instant gratification. This instant gratification has changed the game. So before, there may have been great numbers of people who could not read, right? And they would spend their time just staring out of a window, right? Or I don't know what they did, but whatever they did. But at least then they were engaging their brains in a certain way. See, when you're reading a book, man, look, there are people who can learn from contemplation, right? Even if they can't read or write. And that will actually get them to a certain place. When you're reading a book, right, there's no real instant gratification. There is a build-up and a payoff. No. There's a build-up. Okay, what I'm talking about when I say instant is you watch a video for 5 seconds and that was the gratification. That's it. And then the point is that people are watching hundreds of these in a day, right? And that's just instant gratification. Buzz. There is no build-up before the payoff. Right. When you're reading any kind of novel, the bigger, thicker the novel is, the more of a build up there will be until you get that payoff.
Sorry to cut you guys off just for a moment. We're going to go on a break and be right back. So don't go anywhere.
Please send any suggestion, any idea to our email, that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Imam Khamenei, the leader, one of his favorite books is Les Miserables, Les Miserables, right? That book. Now, I haven't read it. I've watched the movie, okay? But if you try and read it, oh my God, it's really seemingly, for a layperson like me, really boring, these details about these different families and how they lived and how they worked.
Okay.
Hey, actually,
but when you watch the movie,
preferences.
You like the book?
I love the book.
When you read it.
I read the book when I was 14.
Lucky you. But I'm saying, for a layperson like me, it is so boring and dreary. But you have to get through it, and then you get the payoffs. Do you understand? That makes sense.
But the movie was nicer for you because you got to, you know, stare at Hugh Jackman, do some stuff, and the sensory pleasure.
He is an actor
pleasure.
And a half. But yeah, okay. My point is, there is an instant gratification element to this whole thing where people may be able to read more, but they're getting instantly gratified, and therefore they are not stimulating those muscles in their brains that they so desperately need in order to create creativity itself. There's studies that show that boredom is actually good for children. Areas of boredom in their life is actually good for them because it pushes the brain to try and think of something.
It gets those gears spinning and turning.
Look, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because you've raised a really cool point about creativity. No. The generations that came before, they gave us Lord of the Rings. They gave us Narnia. They gave us Blumen 1984, okay? They gave us the...
Ben-Hur.
Ben-Hur. I mean, wow. Everything that we have today is actually just building on the shoulders of giants
CGI,
from the past.
But you know,
do you know what this do you know what they're giving us now? Twilight.
Oh, like, no.
Do you know what they're giving us now?
No. Twilight was the...
The downfall of human society. Right?
What do you prefer? Like reading a book with a good story or watching a movie with the same story?
Reading.
Watching a movie.
That's better, right?
See, it's a preference. And I find Brother Muzaffar to be a million, kajillion, quadrillion times more creative than me.
No, it's not.
I know it as a fact. He is a super duper creative person. Indeed, but he prefers to watch the movies.
Because I'm dyslexic.
And it's a personality thing. Oh, see, that explains so much. And that's all the time we have for today's episode. Look, whether you read or you scroll through social media, you do you. But at the end of the day, don't be stupid. Until another greeting, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked.
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example.
Self purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars. the book The Inner Voice, Allama Sayyid Said Akhtar Rizvi aptly explains the need for a man to understand his purpose in life and to be able to ponder over some of the important aspects of our journey in reaching nearness to Allah. Today, we will read to you an excerpt of this book. Stay with us. Live and die for Allah. Say, truly my prayer and my actions and my life and my death are all for God, the cherisher of the universe. Quran chapter 6 verse 162. This is the ideal Islam. A true Muslim surrenders to the love of Allah. All his actions are motivated by one thought only. God would be pleased by this work, so it must be done. Not only the external rituals and rites, but also his emotions and thoughts are submerged by love of God. He lives for Allah and he dies for Allah. Muslims all over the world are commemorating the great martyrdom of Imam Hussein and his companions. That tragedy is the perfect example of the way a Muslim should keep the love of Allah and his religion above all things. To begin with, Imam Hussein had not refused to submit to Yazid for any worldly reason. He made it perfectly clear in his will, which he wrote at the time of departure from Medina. He writes, "I am not leaving Medina for any worldly motive. I am leaving it so that I may establish the way of my grandfather, the Prophet, and my father Ali, and so that I may exhort people to become righteous and may dissuade them from evil." This will explain in prose what Imam said in poem while he was proceeding to Iraq. He was frequently heard reciting these lines: "If the religion of Muhammad cannot be saved except by the sacrifice of my head, then, O swords, come and take it." And to save the religion of Islam, Imam Hussein sacrificed not one, but 72 heads. These sacrifices were made without any remorse, without any sorrow. On 10th of Muharram, when every passing moment brought a new hardship for this small caravan, Imam's face was radiating more and more content and pleasure. He was happy that his offerings were accepted by Allah. It was this unblemished love of Allah which prompted Imam to say in the last moments of his earthly life, "I left and forgot everything in thy love, Allah. And I made my children orphan so that I may see thee. They have minced my body by their swords, but my heart is oblivious of these tortures. It is not inclined but towards thee, O Allah." Thus Imam Hussein showed how can a man live for Allah? How can he die for Allah? This death is not death. It is eternal life, as God has said, "And do not think those who are martyred in the path of Allah are dead. Nay, they are alive in the presence of God." Thank you so much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was an excerpt from the book Inner Voice